Engage. Out of the park.
The NSR Media Network presents Out of the Park with Barry Davis, brought to you by aglaw.ca, The Jaywalk, and Foundation Physiotherapy. This week, former Blue Jay Joe Biagini has not let COVID-19 change what makes him Joe Biagini.
I don't know. I don't know if that's true. I don't want to lie.
Right. That's a good thing.
But I also don't want to tell the truth either. So we'll just leave it at that.
All right. Former Blue Jay Joe Biagini joins us from his bedroom, where he talks about having a wall full of posters of people that he admires. And your host? Well, it's the same situation, except all those posters are of him. Here he is, Barry Davis.
Is there a problem with that?
It's a little bit narcissistic.
It's Barry through the years.
Okay.
On my walls and on my ceiling. I actually put them there for my wife to enjoy.
Okay.
Is that
not weird?
Yes.
That's a little weird. That's a little weird.
Well, she did ask me to take down all the posters I had of you that were on my wall.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Yeah. Because it made it weird when it was sexy time, right?
Exactly. Well, speaking of weird, oh boy. We've hit the mother lode today. And as you know, when we talk to Joe Biagini, things can get a little bit out there, and they certainly do get out there as Joe literally joins us from his childhood bedroom, where he is living with his mom and dad and his sister. And well, I don't even know what more to say about it other than you'll have to enjoy part one in our conversation with Joe Biagini. And for those of you that are Out of the Park members, you are the lucky ones, because in part two, you will not only hear from Joe Biagini, but we bring his mom into the conversation, and boy, oh boy, does she have some stories to share about her son.
Holy man.
Wow. Oh,
yeah.
Wow. So you're going to enjoy that if you are members. If you're not members, this may be the time you may want to sign up by going to nsrmedia.ca and / become a member. But for today's program, we've got some great conversation with Joe. We'll find out what he's been up to, how he's staying baseball ready. And we talk a lot about his childhood. I think we do. It's a lot of fun. Well, I've asked Barry Davis. We have no poll. We have no poll, Matt. But it's okay. We have lots of Joe Biagini.
Tons.
Yes. Up next, though, Matthew, where could we possibly see baseball go where there is no COVID-19? I'm going to give you a list of 10 potential countries where they don't have any. The question is, do they want Americans going there and playing baseball? That's another question. There's Matt. I'm Barry. You're listening to Out of the Park.
Ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys, The First Pitch with Barry Davis.
The First Pitch is brought to you by our good friends at The Jaywalk. Julie and company still have their shirts pumping out, and we would love you to do a solid and buy something from them, because they're a small business, a local business that are trying to keep afloat right now during the pandemic. And since they're business relies solely on baseball, well, not just baseball, but professional sports, which we have none of, it probably some very difficult times for them at the Jaywalk right now. So do your part. Go to thejaywalk.com and purchase something from Julia and the fine folks there, Matthew. And waiting for you to finally come. I may have to make a delivery to your house. Just drop off a package on your doorstep, and then ring the doorbell and drive away so that you can have your two Jaywalk shirts and your Jaywalk hat.
So you're going to play Nicky Nicky Nine Doors? Is that what's going to happen?
That's exactly what I'm going to do.
All right, that's good.
That work for
you? I'll take it. Yeah, man.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll be some excitement in an otherwise dull existence.
Right. And speaking of, I mean, we're all starting to, get a little bit edgy here when it comes to sports fans missing their sports. I know the gambling world is probably really struggling right now because there's nothing to gamble on other than maybe gambling on when sports will begin again. But Major League Baseball is looking at options, and we'll talk to Joe about that, mostly in part two, about the potential of playing baseball again and how safe he would feel it is. But there are places in the world, Matthew, that have not reported a single case of COVID-19. So I'm going to name a few of these because we want to give you some positivity out there, right? So Comoros, no cases. Marshall Islands, none. North Korea, Palau, Samoa, the Solomon Islands. These are all places that have nothing so far. Tonga, There's a few.
Really?
Yeah, there are a few more. Now, I also know Sweden, if they have any, they have very, very few. Like, so Sweden has somehow managed to just, like, avoid this completely, which is, you know, good for Sweden. Maybe that's where they should play hockey.
Well, yeah, I mean, as I was saying, like, William Nylander is probably like, yep, I don't even have to leave my house. We're good.
Yeah.
But in fact, you know what, though? If you're any member of these countries, do you want these players coming in?
No.
Right?
No, not especially, like, the Americans. I mean, right now, like, as we speak, we're recording at Saturday evening, 6:30 in the evening. Okay? As of Saturday at 6:30, the United States, again, already have 27,000 new cases, over 1,700 new deaths. What's happening in the United States right now is horrifying, especially that you add up, Matt, UK, Germany, France, Italy, Spain, and that does not add up to the amount of cases the United States has right now.
You know, I don't want to belabor or bemoan this, but the handling of this pandemic in the United States is a misfire or a bauble of absolutely historical proportions. Like, this has been mishandled in the most historical, like, talk of legend ways. Mm-hmm. It just could not have been handled worse than it's been handled.
Agree. So
it's wow.
Yeah. Let's not talk about American politics anymore. And let's talk a little bit about baseball. Have you been caught up watching the replay games on Sportsnet? And by the way, I do want to say thank you to the number of people that have reached out to me and said, why weren't you part of the Sportsnet viewing party for the bat flip game? I was not contacted by Sportsnet. They obviously have zero interest in having me on their television network. I would have loved to have been part of that because I was there. I was in the camera bay. I experienced it. I was the one who interviewed Joey Bats after the big home run. You know, I was front and center for that. And I'm happy to talk about my memories of it. Just unfortunate that they had no desire to have me be a part of it. But I do thank all of you who wrote and said that the viewing party wasn't the same. So thank you so much.
And we also have some questions in Ask Barry Davis regarding dovetailing what you just talked about.
Okay. So, all right. Well, we won't go much further when it comes to that.
No. Now, granted, on my end, I don't have cable.
Oh, that's right. You've gotten rid of your cable.
Yeah. So for me, I didn't see it, but the amount of times that I have watched that specific interaction, that seventh inning on YouTube, it's crazy, man. Like, I remember, and everybody has a memory of it, but I remember, and it was weird because I believe it was a Wednesday. Wasn't it a Wednesday when that happened?
Boy, I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you the but day it of the was, week. I don't know what day of the week it is right now, to be honest with you.
That's true, yeah. But it was an afternoon game. Like, it was weird. The game started at 4 o'clock or something.
I don't even remember that.
And by the time that inning came around, it had to be 7 o'clock, 7:30 at night. I hadn't even gotten dinner going because I couldn't take my eyes off the television.
Yeah.
So we actually ordered a pizza, and I remember sitting there watching, and I've made note on repeated occasions that my wife is a cursory baseball fan. She'll watch it or she'll observe it passing through the living room as it's on the TV. But I have never seen her where she came into the living room and sat down on the couch and she could not take her eyes off of that seventh inning. And that's one of those things where if you were to have seen this go down in a Hollywood movie, you would have said, okay, so that's completely Hollywoodized. There's no way in life that this would ever happen where there's three errors and they basically fill the bases up. And then Jose Bautista gets up and hits the most important home run of his entire career to vault the Blue Jays into the next round of the playoffs after a 22-year drought. Like, dude, that sounds like fiction.
You know what?
Like, that sounds, you know?
It is very similar to, you know, in a different way, but just the randomness of it, as there was watching the top or the bottom of the ninth inning between the Jays and the Phillies when Joe Carter hit the walk-off home run to win it, win the World Series. Because, you know, yes, Mitch Williams was wild, but for him to come into the game and just be as horrible as he was and put you know, his team in such a situation where they were facing this, that was also pretty wild as well to see Joe Carter hit the home run. But again, to me, it was everything that went around the bat flip that was so cool. And that seventh inning was just crazy. And it, you know, it's making me think, do I miss live baseball even more now? And it's funny because I'm such a huge sports fan, you would think that I'd be like, oh my God, I don't care how they do it. I don't care what they do. You got to get baseball back. But right now, I'm not worried about that so much as I'm worried about, I'm worried about the world. I'm worried about the number of people that are dying, the number of people that are getting sick, and some of the poor decisions that are being contemplated right now as to, you know, when things can continue and the rush to get it done. And my God, to see the video of Jacksonville Beach reopened just scares the living crap out of me to think that, okay, it's open for surfers and swimmers, but you must maintain your distance and all that. That's a load of crap. I saw some video of it, and there's no way the folks on the beach are 6 feet apart from each other. This is a huge mistake, and it's going to lead to many more cases and many more deaths. The governor of Florida is a complete buffoon.
Well, speaking of the governors, and I didn't realize this, but the governors basically have full control over what they're doing with their states.
And they did before Donald Trump claims to have said, I will give you the power. No, you're not giving them the power. They've always had the power. But he just wants to make it sound like he's in charge. But yeah, they all do. And, you know, there's some concern that they're going to start opening the doors in Michigan as well. There are a lot of protests going on. And again, whenever you're talking about a border state to us, that becomes a concern. And I know Trump wanted to open the Canadian-U.S. border again, and I'm so glad that Ford and Trudeau said, not an effing chance.
Well, I loved... I didn't see it personally from Trudeau, but I loved you, Doug Ford is like, that is absolutely not happening.
Yeah. And good for him for that.
Nope. Know? Yeah.
Good for him for that.
Yeah. Especially with New York, with New York bordering us, that is frightening. Like that is basically ground zero for COVID in the United States. Stay the hell out, man. I'm sorry. And I feel desperately awful for everybody affected in New York by this, but we don't want you here right now, man. Mm-hmm. Stay the hell out.
I mean, the good news is China is, still, getting by with things opening again. As of time of recording, there were no deaths reported on Saturday. 27 new cases. 27 new cases is, I hate to say it, but it's doable, right? When you look at the number of deaths that are happening right now in other parts of the world. So China seems to have finally gotten a grip on this thing. And again, while we look at the number of cases we're getting per day, anywhere between, 1,100 and 1,300, it's not jumping, right? The number of deaths seem to be jumping, but a lot of those are group homes and, a number of people that, were all in the same place at the same time. And that's a concern. I mean, listen, I have an 87-year-old mom that lives with me. I'm so thankful that she lives with me now. If she was in some kind of a senior's home, I would seriously be looking at pulling her out of that and bringing her home, because these things are, I hate to use the term, but they're becoming death traps right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have a neighbor whose husband is in a nursing home, and she goes and she visits him every day.
She's allowed to do that?
I don't know how, but she goes and visits him every day.
Wow.
I don't know how. I have no idea. I don't know. But it's frightening because, what could be floating around that nursing home? And my neighbor's not young. Like, she's in her 70s. So she's not exactly in the demographic that you'd like to be in, potentially going into a COVID hotspot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It's frightening, man. It's frightening.
Yeah. And again, getting back to the whole baseball thing, to me, when it's safe to do so, I'll be watching it when it comes back, right? I'll be happy. But right now, it's just a matter of just trying to make sure everybody stays safe. And, you know, I had another miserable experience grocery shopping on the weekend, something I really enjoyed doing. I literally had to tell people while shopping, first of all, hey, you're going the wrong way. The arrows on the floor are strictly there for a reason. Please walk in the direction that you're supposed to. And most people are like, oh, I didn't even notice. Or, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, you caught me, right? And then there are other times where I have to really look behind me and say, can you please give me a little more space? Nothing personal. I just need my 6 feet. I think people think it's 6 inches. I swear to God, the people that grocery shop must think it's 6 inches because I just feel swarmed by people. And it drives me crazy because one of the few things that I still could enjoy grocery shopping is now turning into like a horrific experience for me.
Oh, dude, it's awful. I mean, and if you go and you read the World Health Organization, they're recommending that you bring your groceries in and that they quarantine in a place for 3 days.
Yeah, I don't do any of that. I'm not. Yeah. I mean, I understand that there are many that are doing that, you included.
Yep.
But my thing is, I just want to make sure that people don't get too close to me. Right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyhow,
I agree.
Anything else sports related you want to say? Because I really want to get to our Ask Barry Davis questions and to Joe Biagini as fast as we can because there's some great stuff coming up.
Well, we didn't mention the Roy Halladay stuff.
Oh yeah, we should get into that. And again, it's another sad twist to the whole situation where, I mean, we knew that he was on a number of medications for the body aches and for the depression and all that, but now to know that not only was he on a number of these drugs, but he was doing a number of very dangerous stunts in his plane, which led to the crash of the plane. And you have to wonder what was going through Roy's head while this was all happening. And it's just one more sad, sad note to this already tragic story.
Well, and that's where I ask myself the question, You can take the fight out of the dog, but can you take the dog out of the fight, or whatever that saying is? Or okay, but so the point is this a guy that was, actively seeking out a challenge or actively seeking out competition, whether it was competition with himself? Like you can't take that level of intensity out of a person and not expect even a small part of it to linger.
That's a good point.
I'm not right, but I'm not so upset. Like, having dealt with anxiety and depression, listen, man, like if the medication's helping, I say take it. The thing that I find disheartening is like, I've got my heavy machineries license. Okay. And you're not supposed to be operating vehicles under, when you're on certain medications. And here's a guy that knew full well of the capabilities of that aircraft. And this was him just being reckless. And I'm not trying to drag his legacy through the mud. And I know his family's been through a ton, but this was pure and simple recklessness.
And you know what? Sorry to interrupt, but for a pilot,
yeah.
I know that, when you're on a commercial airline, they will pull the pilot off the plane if there's been such a lengthy delay that they didn't even have, that their shift has gone on too long. Because pilots need to be fully alert. They have to have had lots of sleep, the whole bit. Why is it that a private pilot can just go to wherever their plane is, the airport, hop on into their plane and start flying? Like, they should all have to go through the same protocols that commercial pilots go through. There's no way that he should have been allowed to even get into that plane without having some kind of testing done or some kind of a protocol to say, we need to make sure that you are not high on something at the time.
And I don't even attribute... his death to the amphetamines, because you could probably function fairly normally on that stuff.
Yeah, but it may have given him that sense of being indestructible. It may have just made him feel so good about where he was at that he was just saying, oh yeah, I can do this. Whereas if he was completely clean at the time and sober, he probably would have thought harder about it. I mean, obviously your decision-making and your sense of what is right and what is wrong, all that kind of stuff that that goes into making a good decision might have been distorted through this, which, you know, but I do, yeah. I do know what you're saying about the competition thing. And this is where Major League Baseball and all professional sports need to work with their former athletes. You remember we had that conversation with Ari Dickey, and you asked him specifically about, you know, he's playing pickup basketball and how, you know, that is such an outlet for him to get out that competitive edge in him. And it's so hard, like you said, when all of a sudden that's cut off completely.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. And it's sad. And I feel for the Halladay family to have this resurface. But I think there could be some good that comes out of all of that awful, and that the MLB looks at this and says, we could be doing better. For sure.
Totally.
We could be doing better.
Totally. All right, Matthew, up next, we've got some questions from our listeners, and I'm looking forward to answering all of them. Still to come, part one with the unmistakable Joseph Biagini. There's Matt. I'm Barry. You're listening to Out of the Park.
Some days are diamonds, some days are rocks, some doors are open, and some roads are blocked, some mouths are golden, and they fade away, and if I never do nothing, I'll get you back someday, but you got a heart so big, it can crush this town, and I can't hold on forever, even walls fall down, and all around your island, there is a sometimes you cry, and half of me is ocean, and half of me is sky, but you got a heart so big, it can crush this town, and I can't hold on forever, even walls fall down.
Out of the Park presents Ask Barry Davis.
Little We Ain't Petty for you here on Out of the Park. That is Walls at the first of our many recordings that we're going to do until you know, we get back to some semblance of normalcy. And between the songs we're recording with We Ain't Petty and the ones we're recording with Driven, It's fun. It's keeping us busy, Matt. I'm loving it, and had a lot of fun putting that video together. Next time, you're going to turn your camera the other way, right? So we get a full shot of you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
for sure.
I had to tell our bass player Emilio, you may want to add a little light to it. I was able to fix a lot of that in post-production, but this is all new to us, right? This is all kind of happening before us and, you know, all unprecedented stuff, but I'm glad we're able to still make some music. So there you go.
I agree. Listen, man, I miss playing with you guys.
Yes, so, yes, I know.
Yeah.
I know when we used to get together with our little dinky cars and sit on the backyard. Is that what you meant by that kind of playing?
That's it. Yep,
yeah,
totally.
That's what I thought.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll save the silliness for the next segment when Joe.
Oh, because it's coming. Holy crap. It's coming.
It is coming. But this is now time for me to answer questions.
Yeah, this is the Ask Barry Davis segment. Visit nsrmedia.ca, hit the Ask Barry Davis tab, tells you how to do it. If you would prefer to stay on Twitter, that's great. Use the Ask Barry Davis hashtag. Otherwise, you can just DM me at @Matt_NSR. My DMs are open. First question. This is from @Ichiro17. Hey, Barry, just curious, do you still keep in touch with Hazel, Shy, Arash, or any of the Sportsnet on-air personnel?
I've spoken to Shy a number of times, and I've messaged Arash here and there. I've seen him at a couple of ball games. Ben Nicholson Smith, I have spoken to when I see at events. So yeah, I've kept in touch with some of those that I have worked with in the past. That is for sure.
Ben Nicholson Smith is such a nice guy.
Really nice guy. One of the sweetest human beings you're ever going to want to meet. Really, really nice guy.
Absolutely.
No, there are a lot of people that I worked with there at Sportsnet that I miss dearly, that I haven't seen in a long time. And, it's hard because I'm not down to the ballpark anymore. So I don't get a chance to interact with them as much as I used to. But for the most part, you know, my interactions are, you know, with the players. They always were back then and they are to this day. And this is why we're able to get players like Joe Biagini on the show. And, next week, we'll have, Danny Jansen joining us on the program, which is really cool. And by the way, this is as good a time as any to point out that, you know, we're having a real tough time, all of us in this world, financially right now. And the sponsors that we have are unable to continue with us right now. And even with Julie at the Jaywalk, I've asked her to, you know, not have to make payments right now because I don't think it's fair that she should be paying when she's having a hard time. But we're struggling now, too. And one of the things that we have available to our listeners, aside from the membership program, and if you want to join and become a member, that would be phenomenal. You can do that for either $3 or $5 a month. But we've also added a donate button on our SoundCloud page. So if you have anything that you can do to help us out, so far we've received one donation, but it was a wonderful one donation. And for $25, anything that we can get from any of our listeners will help immensely because it is becoming more and more difficult to continue to produce this show without any income from it. So anything you can do to help would be wonderful. So we thank you for that.
Awesome. One more. You ready?
Yep.
This is the fourth or fifth question that Lauren from MK has sent me via DM. And Lauren asks, outside of a baseball player, what player or athlete have you had a chance to interview or chat with that you were completely starstruck by?
Well, I think the first time I ever had a chance to interview Mike Palmateer, because he was my first hero. He was my unbelievable, I live, breathe, everything was about Mike Palmateer. If the Leafs were playing a game and he didn't get the start, I would throw a tantrum. My parents wouldn't let me watch the game. You know, if he had a bad game and got pulled, I would be so upset. Now I was, 10 years old. And I had a chance to meet him as a fan a few times growing up. And that was a wonderful experience. And I can detail every single meeting I had with him. It's vivid in my mind, the memories of that. But the final game at Maple Leaf Gardens, I was covering when I was working at the Fan. And I had the opportunity to interview Mike Palmateer, who was there at the game. And I interviewed him sitting in the Golds prior to the game, and it was one of the most surreal experiences of my life to be sitting here chatting as an adult and as not as a fan, but as a reporter asking this guy questions. And I took the time to tell him about how incredible he was to me as a kid. And to me, that of all the interviews I've ever done with athletes, that was the one that really, really hit me as like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm actually doing an interview with him. Now for you, Matt, I want to throw this one at you because you've had opportunities to do the same thing. And one of the things you and I always talk about before we do an interview with somebody that you're a big fan of is, okay, just take a breath. Just remember that inside your head, you might be doing cartwheels and are like freaking out. But when you actually speak, you have to come off as a you know, a competent,
yeah,
you know,
human
interviewer,
being, yeah,
right? But I mean, I think I know the one that, yeah, that did it for, yep, you. But you know, would you like to share with our listeners what that was like and who it was?
R.A. Dickey.
Yes, I knew that.
Yeah, that was the one. R.A. Dickey's book. If you haven't read Wherever I Wind Up, even if you're not a baseball fan, R.A. Dickey's book, there, it, baseball's in there, but it's incidental. R.A. Dickey was the victim of sexual molestation as a child on numerous occasions, and then attempted suicide, and also had an affair on his wife. And his book is, it lays everything bare, and it's a wonderful story about, even though you're broken, it doesn't mean that you can't put yourself back together. And there's been many times where I have felt exactly that way. Like, I'm broken and I'll never be put back together right. And when it's, if you haven't listened to our chat with R.A. Dickey, go and listen to it, because even if you have feelings about his time as a Blue Jay, you just got to listen to this person as a person. And it was, for me, it was more of, I didn't want to talk about the knuckleball. I didn't want to talk about any of that stuff. I just wanted to talk to this person whose book got me through a lot of hard times. And that was definitely one where it was like, okay, going in, I feel like I'm going to throw up in my mouth here. And I'd love to chat with him again. I'd love to become like pen pals or email pals with him, because he's just a wonderful guy to just check in with. He would have a really interesting insight with everything that's happening right now, for sure.
What was it like for you to ask R.A. Dickey a question and have him answer back with, you know what, that is such a great question. Like, oh, there seemed to be an instant connect between the two of you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when you share similar experiences, it tends to come off that way. But yeah, it was, dude, that stuff sends shivers down your spine.
Yeah.
Like, it's just when you hear someone like that you look up to and that you've pored over his book and you just know the ins and outs of everything. And he said, that's a wonderful question. And you're like, oh my, this is it. I'm done. Like, shut the mics off. I'm finished, man. Like, this is, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then you get to talk to Joe Biagini and you're like, I forget what we're talking about. What's happening?
And that is a great segue, Matthew, because that is what is up next. There's Matt. I'm Barry. You're listening to Out of the Park.
So long, Biagini. They sent you down to AAA. You belong to the Bisons now, but Barry still cries your name. They took you from the bullpen, and they whispered into your brain, you are a starter now, so they made you change your game. It seems to me you're living life down south in Buffalo, never knowing when the phone will ring saying we need you, Joe. You're just a little lost right now down in the USA, but you'll be back someday, back from AAA. Spoke into a bottle of champagne in your hand. Well, Barry talked to you. You were never, ever bland. Then Jimmy Fallon dissed you in a sold-out theater. I know it hurt so bad, but it didn't change who you were. It seems to me you're living life down south in Buffalo, never knowing when the phone will ring saying we need you, Joe. You're just a little lost right now down in the USA, but you'll be back someday,
buy some AAA.
There's our good pal Brian Leach in a wonderful song he wrote back when Joe was sent down to the minors, that is back from AAA. And it is time for In the Dugout. And Matthew, man, I don't know what more to say. I don't want to spoil anything, but I will say this. As we get ready to hear part one of Joe Biagini, you know, Matt, a lot of times we always talk about some of the best material happens pre-interview when we're having a little conversation beforehand. Well,
it's unreal.
That happened once again. Well, not that there wasn't a lot of great stuff in the bulk of it, in the meat of it, but we had some pretty fun conversations as we were getting ready to start. And in an Out of the Park exclusive, we're going to play you the opening moments leading in to the official beginning of our conversation with Joe Biagini. So here it is, folks, part one with former Toronto Blue Jay, Joe Biagini.
Hit record. That's the name of a company by, what's the guy's name? The actor with three names? Hit record TV or something like that.
Jay-Z?
That's not
Leonardo
three names.
Leonardo DiCaprio?
Hang on. No, Jay-Z
right.
is two
That's
names.
That's not even one name. That's.
Joe. I miss you, man.
Sure. Sure you do. Yeah, you only reach out when you need me.
We do need you. We do need you
we
desperately.
We do need you.
Yes.
The world needs you, man.
The world needs more Joe. All right, let us begin.
Like more coffee?
I'm drinking coffee now, actually.
That's smart in the pandemic.
Yes. So, Mr. Joseph Biagini, how have you been holding out during this lockdown pandemic situation where you'd normally be playing baseball now? This would be like the beginning of the regular season somewhere for you.
Yes, I noticed that my arm had not been hurting as much as it usually does this time of year, and I thought that was kind of peculiar, and then I realized that there was no season happening, which helps that cause. But yeah, I've been hearing a lot about this coronavirus thing. I've just started to kind of realize that that's happening. I don't know. I've been quarantining in my parents' house, which is basically what I do every time I visit my parents' house. And so I've, you know, they've kept me away from the world, which I think is good for both sides. Yeah. So
do you still have your bedroom made up, Joe? Did your parents leave your bedroom intact from when you...
Oh, it is intact. So, sometimes they use it because it has so many fun little trinkets. It helps them relax. It has tape on the roof because we were going to paint, or not the roof, the ceiling. That's what it's called. That we were going to paint the walls like 6 years ago and never did. So that there's just this blue tape ring around the.
Okay. Hold on a second, Joe. Wait a minute. So you made mention of trinkets though. What trinkets would you have in your room that would help your parents relax?
Yes. What do you have on the walls and such?
I used to have, so now the walls are just kind of like multicolored or many shades of the same color of the paint because of all the posters I used to have that I took down because we were going to paint. And then like, I had to go play baseball, and then
you had to go play baseball. I love that.
We painted the yes, it's in my contract. we painted the ceiling, but so I used to have this poster that was a NASA poster. It was it said your attitude determines your altitude, which was pretty cool. I had a couple car. Posters. I had a Justin Bieber.
No, that's okay.
I had a.
That's okay, man.
A basketball hoop that was taped up to the wall. But yeah, I have a bunch of little things. Let's see if I can find any appropriate ones.
Are you in the room right now?
I am.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm eating hot dogs and a bowl of strawberries.
Balanced.
My mommy insists when I'm here, all I get to eat is organic things, which are nice. So the hot dogs are super healthy, probably
good for
not.
You.
But
any chance your bed is shaped like a car or kind of, you know, one of those fun beds?
It's not. I'm not weird. I just have the Big Bird pillow.
Okay.
Okay.
In my bed that I use, you know, it's like one of those pillows that like kind of hugs you. Like I just use that, put his arm around me. I don't know. I haven't checked.
Joe, there was word on the street that you have an Optimus Prime duvet on your bed, like a Transformers duvet. Is that true or not?
A bidet? Is that
no,
a Prime bidet?
No, a duvet.
Still learning French.
That's okay. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if that's true. I don't want to lie.
And right. That's a good thing.
You know, but I also don't want to tell the truth either. So we'll just leave it at that.
All right. All right. Now, also too, Joe, I also heard a rumor that...
You're hearing a lot of rumors, Matt, and that concerns
yeah,
me.
Yeah, there's a lot of rumors. Listen,
What's the rumor mill... Why is it so active for me right now?
I don't know.
Been contributing to anything recently.
But can you confirm or deny if the pandemic is in fact male, we can call it a mandemic? What do you think?
I can confirm or deny that. Yes.
Okay.
Thank
good.
Joe, if you want, we can do the rest of this conversation without Matt.
Or just without any of us.
Oh man.
You know. Yeah. Eat it. Eat it, Davis.
You know, we haven't spoken to you in so long, and we've missed you and your fans in Toronto and the entire country. You have fans in the entire country of Canada, Joe, and they miss you.
I miss them. You know, I really enjoyed my time in the great.
Well, why wouldn't you?
I can't remember what
Canada
called it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the great Canada.
I mean, you end up going to Houston, where, you know, some weird things happened before you arrived.
There's some, for many reasons, a lot differs about Texas than Canada. And they both have their good qualities. And that's all I'm going to say. But I do miss the great North or whatever, the six. And even the seven, but not the five. Sorry, I need to stop talking about that. But I think, yeah, I don't know. It was a great experience, and I feel I just want to make sure I don't pass up the mandemic joke. Was
yeah.
I will say very strongly, it was not your worst joke.
Okay. Thank you, man. I'll take that.
You're welcome.
I'll take that.
But yeah, I don't know. Doesn't pan mean like all? So
yes.
Like, so then if it's male, it could be man. And
well, then you could have I don't know. What would be the female version? Like the womandemic? I don't know.
I think it's you're getting really, you're really sexist here, Matt.
Yeah. Womandemic sounds kind of cool. But then you know, then there's all these things nowadays where you have to be inclusive about everybody.
Right.
So you might well just stick with pan, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
Or
you're right.
You know,
all demic
works. Sensitive this virus is, and so we don't want to, you know.
How about all demic?
Okay, that was your worst joke.
Okay. So can only get better from here. So Joe, when you leave your house, do you have a specially designed mask? Do you have something with, you know, some paintings on it or anything cool on it?
Actually, I was made a mask with, and it was, I have to say, I've not worked up the courage to wear that yet, but it had a bunch of equipment from my favorite sport on it, which is kind of cool.
It'd be really heavy, wouldn't it?
That wouldn't have been a functional
right
mask. That it was just pictures.
Oh, okay.
The items, but good question.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking that when baseball returns, if players have to wear masks, that's going to be a little bit of an issue for all the guys that are chewing tobacco, don't you think? Can you imagine them spitting their tobacco out when they're wearing the masks?
Yeah, that I don't know. Maybe
that'd be funny actually to see.
I'm in.
Interesting. Maybe totally you would see like a big bulge in the side of their mask where they kind of spit it out into the corner, or they can have like compartments for it. And then, you know, they can do a mask check or something every time.
Joe, are you familiar with the group Daft Punk? You ever heard of Daft Punk?
I have. Yes.
Yes. So
they do,
Get Lucky.
They do a bunch of like electronic music.
Yeah.
Did they do the Tron soundtrack? That was pretty good.
Yes, Joe. Yes, they did. Good for you, man. Absolutely. So they
Get Lucky. Even though
yes.
I condone that type of behavior, I like that song.
Okay, so
unless you're at a casino,
then you got to get lucky for sure.
Absolutely. Right. Well, no. So yes, but no.
Right. But yeah. So they wear like masks and helmets. I posit that all MLBers should be just wearing Daft Punk-esque helmets when they come back, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good idea.
Sorry, I'm chewing hot dog.
That's okay.
The great thing about Joe is when he tells us he's eating a hot dog, he's actually eating a hot dog.
Yeah,
this is not like made up stuff, you know?
I do think that would be, you know, you could put the logos of the team. You could put the team colors on it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You wanted to pitch, especially being, you know, an astronaut, you'd need it like a space helmet looking thing to survive out there. Plus, if you've ever been to the Minute Maid Park, as it is called by the people who know what it's called, the red, like, dirt that they have in there.
Yeah.
Is... It kind of has this smell. I don't know if you've ever... Have you been there? You've been there, right?
I have, yes. They don't let me actually on the playing surface.
I know you've been there because one of my friends was annoyingly looking up one of my old videos, and it was with you. It was really awkward, which was great for both of us, I'm sure.
Is it the one where you picked me up and... put me on the top level of the dugout?
It might have been. I like to, you know, I've done that multiple times, so it's hard to keep track, but I think that was at the end. Anyway, I don't know if you remember, but it has this really distinct smell that always kind of bothered me, like when we went to play there, visitors, but I'd gotten used to it now. But so that red dirt and the smell, it smells like you're on like a different planet, you know, like you're on Mars or something. And maybe that's what they're going for with the whole astronaut kind of deal.
Well, I think you just raised a really interesting idea, Joe, because they're trying to figure out where...
I don't think I did, but I appreciate
it. It's true. I'm trying my best here. You know, they're talking about maybe having all the ball players go to Arizona and set up shop there and start a season. Why don't they just put all the players on a spaceship, send you all out to like Mars or another planet, set up shop there, and have the season being played there? What do you think?
I think that would be good, although because there's not as much density in like space with the air and with all that stuff, you might have to stand like, you know, a couple miles apart so that the coronavirus doesn't spread. But then maybe you could throw the pitch faster, so you could actually throw it from like one side of the planet to the other.
Right.
But then again, Joe, like, are your breaking pitches going to break the same way on Mars? What if like the batters might be all over your pitches because they're not breaking the same way?
That's a good point. Although I will counter with mine don't really break that much anyway, so they probably would be fine.
I would love to see an R.A. Dickey knuckleball thrown on Mars and see what it does. It probably would spin and go straight down the middle.
Maybe, and surprise him. I had a coach, Larry McCall, he was with the Giants. It was always funny. He would tell his pitchers, you know, 0-2, throw right down the middle, surprise him. I thought that was funny. So maybe that's the strategy.
That was an interesting impersonation, but you sounded more like Joe Exotic than you did.
Thank you for that reference. I was hoping we would avoid that topic.
have you been binge watching television, or have you found anything? Like, what are you doing to fill your time other than sitting in your bedroom eating hot dogs and strawberries?
What else? I also eat blueberries.
They're very good for you. Yep.
They're good.
I have a caramel apple pop in my drawer somewhere around here that I'm saving for a special occasion.
Good, good.
I did watch Tiger King. I heard that they came out with another episode.
It's just a retrospective. It's based. I actually watched it last night. So Joel McHale interviews all the different cast from the show, like now, and if you didn't already think this guy was nuts, you find out even more about.
Yeah, when you say it's just as in it's was, is it worth it?
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, if you watch the whole series, but you'll find out some even more disturbing things about Joe Exotic that you didn't already know. And by the way,
I think what was most disturbing to me was that a lot of that show took place in the Tampa area. And that's like right around where we had spring training. And I remember like seeing screenshots of like a certain street that they were like doing some crazy plot to kill a lady or whatever. And, you know, it was like Nebraska Avenue or something. I was like, I've been on Nebraska Avenue. Like, I was looking at things that I recognized. It was just kind of weird that all that was going on. I mean, I guess you don't know when you're in public, like, what's really going on and vice versa, because, you know, I got some stuff. But it was
just a good thing you weren't mauled by a tiger while you were in spring training.
That's true. I mean, I could have gone to one of those places, you know, just for fun, like a couple of teammates. I guess there was one clip where Shaquille O'Neal went to one of the zoos or whatever. And this last spring I went to a zoo in West Palm Beach, and now we're all sitting there watching this and going like, did we just contribute to this whole mess or something? But I don't know. It seemed like a good zoo that we went to, but I don't know. Zoos in general are a little bit kind of a interesting topic, you know, kind of controversial topic. So I don't know.
By the way, speaking of cats, Joe, I do need to tell you this, and this is more of a serious thing, but...
Your new favorite movie.
No.
Man, what a disaster, that film.
One of your biggest fans on the planet, young lady by the name of Victoria. You familiar with Victoria, redheaded woman?
Let's see, Yes,
of course. She gave you a beautiful memory scrapbook, right?
Oh, yeah. Have that. I bring that out at like parties it's not going on much anymore, but like with my friends and stuff. And I show them this whole thing. And actually one of the entries in that is from this, one of my sister's best friends got, she was living in Detroit, and then we got to go to dinner together. It was kind of a weird dinner. There was this other guy there, this whole mess. I don't know. Anyway, one of her friends had this friend who was from Toronto, and he wanted to take a picture with me just for fun, whatever. He was a Blue Jays fan or something. And he then apparently submitted that picture into the scrapbook or whatever it's called. And I was flipping through it and I saw this and I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I remember that was a couple months ago. And it was like so weird that moment that I specifically remembered would end up in this thing. I have to say she's would be the winner in my biggest fan contest. She's very sweet and did a lot of work on her artwork for me. It was always very encouraging to see those when I was, as soon as I got over the awkwardness of it, then it was encouraging to just know that they're up there ready to be shown to whoever passes by.
Well, she'll be thrilled to hear from you because she's been going through a tough time. Her beloved cat, whose name is Rain, is suffering from some bizarre disease called FIP, which is deadly towards cats. And she's been, you know, down on her luck a little bit, feeling really, really lousy. So I'm sure hearing the nice words from you will make her feel a lot better. So,
hey,
I will say a prayer for her cat.
That's very nice of you.
Hey guys, just wanted to let you know just a little bit of an update. The cat unfortunately passed away.
Oh, that's so sad.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not good.
I will say a prayer for her cat soul, because all cats go to heaven, as you know.
Oh, for sure. They absolutely
do. Yeah, I hope she's doing well.
Well, me we'll too. Make no, sure she'll be listening to this, I'm sure, and no. hopefully she'll she'll hear the message from you. So, growing up, were you did you have pets?
Yeah, like visible or invisible?
Either.
Yes.
You can do both.
Yes, I did.
And what did you have? That's the follow-up question.
Ooh, good reporting.
Yeah,
That was.
They should put me at the White House.
These are hard-hitting questions.
Right.
What did I have? No comment. Next. No, I had a... So we had a dog named Sandy. It was an Australian Shepherd Queensland Heeler mix, I believe. She was very smart. A very good dog. We all loved her very much. I still have a picture of her in my room. I'm looking at it right now, in between strawberries. And the picture's not in between strawberries. That's my look, is in between strawberries being eaten, just to clarify. And we had a cat. The cat was named Spike, even though it was a girl. Not that Spike can't be a girl's name in today's day and age, but we... it was a little more, you know, manly, traditionally manly name, I would imagine, but was Spike. And the reason we just called it the cat, my dad just called it the cat. But it was a cat that kind of adopted us, where we started feeding it, or my mom started feeding it, and then it just kind of hung around, and then we just kind of adopted it. And it came from our neighbors, and they said, oh, yeah, you can have that cat if you want.
Isn't that how you became a member of the Biagini family?
I was just going to say.
It's not, and I'm offended that you would ask that.
Oh, okay.
I was discovered in a raft off the coast of California. So.
Good for you.
That's awesome. Okay.
And then the cat, unfortunately, developed, I think, cancer in its, like, ear. And the crappy part was it would sleep in my, like, closet sometimes. And... when the cat would scratch its ear so it would make it bleed, and then it would, like, shake its head, you know, do the little, and it would splatter blood all over my closet. And
all right,
I had to replace some shirts. I mean, some of them I've kept just for sentimental reasons, obviously, as you would do. But
it's fashion too, right? It looks like what do you call that kind of artwork? That
the blood
art
batter. I've been stopped a couple times, but I, you know, luckily I have this story at the ready, and it just seems to be everybody buys it, so that's good. But yeah, we kind of did the opposite of a big cat rescue, to throw in a Tiger King reference. But yeah, and then we had like a hamster and a bunny at one point, and. Yeah, those were all the visible ones.
Joe, just a update here. Jose Canseco, former MLB-er, he just tweeted, can Bigfoot or aliens get coronavirus? He needs to know because he's had contact with both Bigfoot and aliens. So,
did he actually tweet that? Because I know he has some like alien stuff going on.
So he literally, as I was talking to you, Joe, somebody tweeted at me, hey, check this out. Yes, he literally...
That was my answer was so long that you had the chance to get a tweet from somebody and go look it up.
He went to the bathroom too.
Yeah. I've also had a cup of coffee and everything. So yeah, man.
I noticed that you stopped laughing, so I thought maybe I just wasn't funny anymore.
No. You're always funny. It's just that
I'm self-conscious about that. So thank you.
I've asked Matt to not laugh as much because he takes my audio levels and hits the roof with them.
Oh, right. And so it's all about you, as we know. So
well, for sure. That's right. Yeah. Stuff,
I get it.
Yeah. No kidding. Yeah. It's all about him.
But you got to make sure that you have room for those hard hitting follow-up questions.
Hey, so Joe, I was going to ask you, being that you're a huggy sort of fella, you like to hug and you like to be, you know, a hugger. How are you dealing with that now with all of this coronavirus stuff going on?
If you look up, I need to look this up to give you an answer. All right. Let's see. Do you want to play some hold music?
Yeah. Yes. Let's do that.
I have a let's see. I have an answer, a technique for this.
We are waiting with bated breath.
I can't even imagine what this is going to be, but okay.
It's, it's the from Saturday Night Live, the Daniel Craig episode.
Okay.
I think I'll find it here. Oh, it's called Sands of Modesto.
Okay.
Just look up that skit or whatever it's called, bit, I don't know. And that's all I'm going to say. You'll have your answer by looking up the Sands of Modesto skit from the most recent Daniel Craig SNL.
Okay.
And you'll know how I get around that.
I love how Joe gives us homework. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, I mean, you know, being where you are in life now, I've realized that you probably didn't do a lot of that when you were.
This is true. See, there's the laugh.
I pulled back, though. I pulled back.
Neither did I. I mean, I playing baseball, luckily, but
yeah,
not at the moment, though.
No.
Okay, so Joe, you're home right now, and your parents are home. So could you call your mom and ask her to bring you some meatloaf or something? Because we'd love to say hello to your mom or your dad.
Do you want to say hi to my mom?
We do.
Absolutely.
Did not give her any context?
No, not at all.
Know what's going on. Mom!
Meatloaf!
Where's mom?
Mom! Mom!
That's my sister. I'm doing an interview right now. Oh. You want to talk to her?
Yeah, let's talk to your sister.
I was making fun of him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not nice.
Mom, I'm doing an interview right now and they want to talk to you.
What?
She's halfway through a turkey sandwich.
They can't see you.
They can't see you. Remember Barry Davis? He was.
Yes. He's so cute.
Oh, she remembers me. Cute. There he is, part one with Joe Biagini. And we leave it there with that teaser about can we get your mom on the line? And in part two, we do indeed get Joe's mom on the line, a brief chat with his sister as well. But we talked to Joe's mom, and you'll learn a lot about how Joe became Joe in many ways. And it's fantastic. If you'd like to listen to part two with Joe Biagini, all you have to do is go to nsrmedia.ca, click become a member. For as little as $3 US a month, you can become a member and access all the part twos that we have, including this one, which will be available on either Wednesday or Thursday. You know, with the way the days are going now, we've been releasing the members podcast on the Thursday. So if you don't see it Wednesday, it will be there Thursday for sure. So that wraps up today's episode. Matt, that was an absolute blast. Always fun to have someone like Joe be there to kind of help you know, us forget about some of the crazy stuff that's going on in the world that's not good.
I totally agree. This is a wonderful time to get it. And kudos to you for getting him at this time because A, he's available, and B, it's a wonderful he provides a wonderful sense of levity. You know,
he really does.
Even when the conversation does get serious, there's still a hint of humor in there, right?
Right. And anyone who thinks that Joe's just making this stuff up, he's not making this stuff
up.
This is Joe. This is not an act or anything like that. This is exactly who he is. So, again, big thank you to Joe Biagini for joining us. And Matthew, honestly, I did have posters of you, many of them in my bedroom, but my mom made me take them down because she thought it was scaring all of our pets.
Nice.
Yeah.
Love it.
So, yeah, you know, they are behind the posters I have put up of me over top of them. So
that's good.
The posters are still there. One day, maybe we'll have them back again.
So I'm still staring at your ass.
Yes. Oh, and by the way, we do want to send our best out to Victoria, who's Joe's biggest fan. And I'm really glad that Joe was able to say some nice words about Victoria. And condolences to your cat passing. I know it's a real tough time. For someone who has two cats myself, it is you get so attached to them and they are family and it's a tough time. So hopefully, Victoria, if you're listening, Joe's words were able to make you feel a little bit better during what has become a very tough time. And to you, Victoria, and to all of those who are listening, we do appreciate it and we thank you for making us a part of your week.
You've been listening to Out of the Park with Barry Davis. Thanks for joining us. Get home safely and see you next time.